Blog Talk Radio.
Peace, everyone. How you doing? Welcome to Israel Doctrines Google Hangout. I'm your host, Carl Albert, and you have now and into our hangout. It's also simultaneously broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com/thehuddle, right? So we hitting two audiences up at one time. For those who want to call in, the phone number is 657-383-1714. I'm going to leave it there, people. The topic of today is Jesus, the lawgiver. People act like he never existed. People act like he didn't exist till he came in the flesh. It's a lot of things out there, you know, one no letter J. A lot of controversy over the title or the name Jesus, right? And all that controversy has to do a lot with he came to get rid of the law or this, that, and the other, you know. I'm going to deal with a little bit of the controversy. I'm going to deal with a little bit of some things that's been stated lately by a couple people that want to try to touch up on the Bible and stuff, knowing darn well they don't know what they're talking about. But I tend to talk crazy if I ain't reading the scriptures or really getting into the lesson. So let me take my time and go into the script. So, I want to go to a verse that I had to deal with today that I love to go to, and it deals with Jesus, right? And he's making a statement about the flesh. He said, doesn't profit, right? So, we're going to go to John 6:63. It said, it is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, this is what he said when he was in the flesh here on earth. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But them words just weren't when he was in the flesh. It was also when he was in his God body with the Father being the spokesman for the Godhead, right? So let's take our time and pursue this a little, right? Let me make sure I got 120 minutes on the clock because we don't want to be sitting up here and talking, not watching blog talk, and then it kick us off. You know, the English woman start counting down. Then I have to boost the time and everything. So now we're dealing with Jesus, right? And we're going to deal with him from John 1. But before we go to John 1, we got to go to Revelation. Right? We got to go to Revelation. Lay some foundation here. Revelation 19 to be exact. So, we see that when he came in the flesh, he used a statement to let you know the words that he speak are spirit. Are actually spirit, right? So now we're going to Revelation 19. We're going to deal with something, right? We're going to deal with another name he's called. A lot of people don't believe he was called Israel. A lot of people don't believe that when they make the reference in the figurative manner that, you know, the word this and the word that is his name. It's not his makeup. He's not a utterance. It's another figurative language being used, you know, even whatever. Let's just read the text, right? And we'll pick it up in 19. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. and he that set up on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he do judge and make war. What is he going to judge with, people? And why is he making war? Because people transgress. What he going to judge with? That's his laws, which is sin. And that's why he make war, because man transgress sin against him, breaking his laws, statutes, and commandments, right? 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself, right? But he got another name here that no man really knows or won't acknowledge. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, because he gonna tread the winepress, and the fierce and the wrath of his anger. I will get you that script, but I don't want to stay too long in the scriptures. So let's read on. And his name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. So now that we know, when he speak, the words that he speak are spirit, right? And he is called the Word of God. Most definitely when he was in God body or in the spirit body, right? So now let's go to John, St. John, that is. Now that we got that little information, got to make sure y'all get this information so this thing can tie in together perfectly. Right, John 1 and 1, please. It said, in the beginning was the Word, the one who was called the Word of God, right? That's a name. Nothing else but a name, nickname, alias, whatever you want to call it to understand and comprehend it, right? And the Word, him that was called the Word, was with God. And the Word, called the Word, was also known as God. Him that was called the Word was God. Right? I don't know how many times over the years I go to this scripture and people act like they just ignorant, right? So let's read on. The same was in the beginning with God. The same what was in the beginning with God. Let's go back to the other sentence where it tells us, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word was the beginning with God, right? All things was made by him. Him who? The one that's called the Word, right? All things was made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Right? That's what it say. Do you believe it? Let me give you another reference just so you can have any references. So when you study and you need some hit rock, you know what I'm saying? You need something to toss upside somebody's head, right? Hebrews 1 and 1. God, who at sundry times and diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, right? Has in the last days spoken to us by his Son. And his Son words are what? Spirit. Don't forget that. Gonna be very significant to another portion of this conversation, right? Who he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. He made the world by who? The Word. The Word is the name of him that was with God. And all things was made by who? Him. Right? So, when we read over here in John 1 and 3, it said, all things was made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. What it say over here? Hebrews 1 and 2. Has in the last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So, Jesus is the creator. The Son do his bidding. The Word, let there be, the spoke. Come on, people. I can't get too deep with this. I gotta keep it somewhat on the surface so you can follow me. Follow me. All right. So now we see the significance of the word. What we gonna do, we're gonna go to 14 now. Normally people will go to 10 or something like that. I like to go to 14 and keep with the word, right? And the description of what's going on with the word. Then we're gonna go up to 10. So it said, and the word was made flesh. The one that was called the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Right? So, the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. 10 works good after that. It said, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Who did it say the world was made by? The Son. And all things that was made by him, the Son. Or the Word, or Jesus, the one who's called the Word. Right? You see how easy that is? He made the world. He created everything. I think we're on a good path here, people, of finding out who gave the law and who was the one represented. And next is this 20. Who said I am that I am to the angel that spoke it unto Moses? Because he spoke the words, but the angel in the burning bush is the one that spoke the words to Moses. But let's go to Genesis now. One. So we can get creation story and understand who created him. Because we got the foreknowledge now, right? So it say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And how did he do it? By the word. And the word is the name of him that was with God in the beginning. But as Elohim denotes, you know, a compound noun or uniplural or a majestic plural and so on and so forth, we know that it's two there. So it say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Right? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was up on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved up on the face of the water. Now, we know the words that Jesus speak are spirit, right? But we know the angels are spirit. Right? Now, in the Big Bang Theory, it say a wave did this and did that. Well, a sound wave, a water wave, even if it's an explosion, it makes a sound wave, right? But anyway, just to hit y'all scientific people off a little bit. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, right? And say, God did this, right? We're going to skip some now, right? We're going to go to Genesis 2 and pick it up here. Come on. Thus the heavens and the earth was finished, and all the hosts of them. Now, who created everything? And without him was nothing created. And on the seventh day, God rested. Basically, right? On the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And we know Jesus did this, right? And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. So it said he rested from all his work which God created and made. He, God, created and made. You know when you create a building, people do the blueprints and stuff. Though people do the actual work. The dude that contracted it all and everything, his name is put on the building. So though Jesus did all the work, and he is one with the Father and known as God, is his God himself, all the credit goes to the Father, right? No problem with that for those that don't think people want to give the Father his props. without denying Jesus and giving him his props and deserve honor for that he deserved honor for, right? So it said, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made earth and the heavens, right? Y'all know I talked to somebody about there being more than one heaven, right? And they talked that old chronological stuff, right? It's all good. Let's go back to Hebrews now. We're going to go to 1. I gave you a preview of it, but now we're going to go and read a whole good, a nice little portion, a chunk. Because you're going to understand the relationship of the Father and Son when we get down to verse 5. So let's go to Hebrews now. We're going to start back at 1. Give me a sec. I got to get there, people. I ain't got no reader, so. Somebody said they was going to be here, but. You know. I didn't hold my breath. So, Hebrews 1. And we're going to start back at 1 to get this information, people. So it said, God, who is sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in the last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, right? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. See, that word is spirit, and that word is a powerful thing, right? He himself is called a word. He's not an utterance, but what he utter is spirit, and it is life, and it brings forth, right? So it said, and by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So that's the Son. The word made flesh. We explained that, right? Being made so much better than the angels as he had by inheritance attained a more excellent name than they, right? For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? Name me one angel. And I know the trick of the trade when people say an angel is a messenger, he's a messenger, so he could be called an angel, but he was not an angelical being in the sense that he was created like the angels was created, and that all that whole thing. Watch. It explains it in him. He was God. God created the angels, and Jesus created the angels being God. We're going to deal with that. It says he created all things, powers, visible, invisible. Colossians, people, know your text. Right? So it said, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Right? And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, off of this because he's been okay. He said what? He said, and let all the angels of God worship him. I thought he wasn't supposed to be worshiped. Only God's supposed to be worshiped. But if he's God, then he's worthy of worship too, right? I'm going to put a little something out there for the people that want to start a little ruckus and controversy. I like to deal with people when they think I'm saying something and they can smush something in my face or whatever. But anyway, and the angels said, and of the angels he said, who maketh his angels spirits? Right? Angels are spirits. He maketh his angels spirits and his ministers of flame of fire. But unto the Son he said, thou throne, O God. Who said that to the Son? The Father said to the Son. You know, as he said in 5, I will be his father, he will be my son. So the Father, when he spoke to him as if he was his son, right? That's so you can understand the relationship. Got to give it something to liken it unto. You won't know what he's talking about. you want to understand carnal things. So he got to give you the carnal aspect of it so you can understand the spiritual. Anyway, he say, but unto the Son, verse 8. But unto the Son, he said, thou throne, O God, is forever and ever. A sceptre of righteousness is the sceptre of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thou, God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellow. God, even your God, what was they called in John 1 and 1? The Word, which was God, and he was with one known as God. So God, who was the Word, was anointed by the one he was with. Y'all ain't never read that. This right here refers back to a psalm that the psalmist wrote. So Paul explaining it to you. So he said, verse 9 again, thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thou, God, hast anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellow. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. See him talking to the Son, and see what he said. Take you back to verse 2 when he said he did all this by the Son, a.k.a. the Word. And without the Word, or without him, was not anything made. Are you getting it? Are you comprehending it? Who want a scrap? Who wants some of this? I don't mind giving it to you. Even if you're kicking, you're going to take this. You're going to get this medicine, right? So let's go to Colossians right quick, just to verify. And I'm going to tell you when he became the only begotten, the only one born from the dead. That's when he became the only begotten, right? Truly, the only begotten from the grave, to live forevermore and never die again, to die once and never to taste death again. If I can find Colossians. Well, I'll make some bold statements about them. They've been tried and tested. You can make them when you know they work. When you know you can stand up on them. Like a rock, right? So Colossians 1, and we're going to pick it up at 12. Give thanks unto the Father. Remember, one became the Father, one became the Son. Give thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What did Hebrews say? Let's flip back over that right quick. Make sure I'm tying this thing together right. Right? What did... So he was an heir in verse 2, has appointed heir of all things, right? So it said, has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, right? So we to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, in his Son, 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, making us part of the church, right? Take notes, people. Acts 20 and 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto the flock which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And we purchased with the blood of the Son, right? The Son of God. Of Jesus, who was the Son of his Father, God, right? So, let's go back to the Hebrews. I got to keep a finger over there. So it said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Over here he said, verse 3, who being in the brightness of his glory and in the express image of his person. But the Father is invisible. We never seen him. Jesus is just the express image of him and everything else, right? Seeing that he's the invisible God, why I call him invisible God? Let's go to 5 right quick, John, that is. Jesus is going to tell you. John 5 and 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has bear witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. So when we hear the voice of God, or see the shape of God, quote unquote, right, it won't be Jesus' Father. And we already recognize that it's two, the Father and the Son, God and the Word of God, who's also known as God, right? So it say, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him you believe not. But he tell them, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which did testify of me. They speak of me. You think you done heard and seen the Father? Excuse me while I laugh, right? That's Jesus. This is basically probably how he did them. Excuse me while I laugh. He'd never seen the Father. Oh, look, let me go take you back to John 1 just to verify it a little bit more with some more witnesses. That's all. What verse 18 say? Read. It said, John 1 and 18. It said, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of him, has declared him. Right? Search the scriptures, for they testify him. Right? For had you believed Moses, this is John 5 and 46, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me. What did 37 say? Ye have neither heard his voice any time nor seen his shape. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me. Right of the Father. Moses didn't hear him. Moses didn't see him. But he did. Right of who he heard and who he seen. But let's go back to Colossians and deal with the express image of the invisible God, firstborn of every creature. 15, who is the image of the invisible God? The express image. The firstborn of every creature, right? For by him were all things created. All things were created by him. Go to Genesis right quick. Because we made in the image of God, right? But God is in the image of God also, right? The Son is in the image of the Father. Nope. And we're in the image of the Son. Nope. Well, who do you think was speaking in Genesis 1 and 26? Because no man has ever heard of seeing the Father. No one has even heard or seen the Father in the sense that when the angels told the story, they weren't talking about the Father, about the Son. When he got the information, he didn't hear or see the Father in that conversation or the vision or whatever. However you want to do it, all the things he got was about the Son. So when we reading about God or somebody speaking here in 26, and then they say something in 27, or it denotes that this conversation take place from Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Let's see what it means, and then we're going to go back to the image and firstborn and all of that. Because we made in the image of God, right? So, it say, Genesis 1 and 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. So, who God is speaking to? It's in the same image and likeness of him. We know it's two of them, right? One of them we ain't never heard or seen. But the other one we'd have heard and seen. And we mistaked him for his Father. We mistake him for his Father. When he's truly ours. I can't be saying that all the time. Y'all gonna. But anyway. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth up on the earth. Right? He spoke to somebody that was in his image and his likeness. Then he said, So God created man in his own image, but yet his image and likeness is the express image and likeness of who? His Father. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And that's how he created them. He created him, which produced them. Never forget that. It's three stories about one event. It's not three stories about three different events. Most people only know of two stories. So let me just take you through that before we get back to Colossians, right? Genesis 1, 26 to 27. Genesis 2 and 7. I'll just read it for you right quick. And 21. So it say, Genesis 2 and 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The man became a living soul. And Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall up on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto him. That's the creation of him. That's the story of how he created them, right? You can call it allegory, whatever you want. He said, let's do it in Genesis 1 and 26 through 27. He just did it. If you go to Genesis 5 now, watch how this is the same language as verse 27. 1 and 27. It said, these are the books of the generation of Adam in the day God created man. In the likeness of God made he him. He said, him, then male and female, right? So you see that him, male and female created he them. That's the same story that you read in Genesis 1 and 27. So that's another creation. Then he created Adam and Eve. Then they must have died or whatever. He created some other humans. Come on, get out of here, people. One event, three different accounts. That's all. So now, let me show you. Let me show you something right quick. I be wanting to move fast, but it's a lot to show. When you know a lot, you got to show a lot. So let's read on Genesis 5. It said, this is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Right? Now, let's go to Luke 1. Luke 3. I'm bad. Let's go to Luke 3. I'm going to show y'all another little mystery right here to show that we was like God. God created man in his image and his likeness, right? When Adam did the bedroom or the pile of leaf, boom, boom, on the way. I don't know if they had a bed, you know. But once he did the boom, boom, bang, bang, skeet, skeet, then he created a man in his image and his likeness. To show you the thing, right? So Jesus is in the image and the likeness of Father. Then he create man in his image and likeness. And then man, the male and female, come together and create one in their image and their likeness. But it gave the credit to Adam more than anything, right? Yeah, it's a male chauvinist book, if that's the way you want to argue it. Take two to tangle, though. Ain't no fun if you skeeting by yourself. But anyway, 38. And it's just going in reverse order, taking you all the way back to God or the first son of God, which helps you a whole lot when you understand Jesus, the only begotten son of God, the second Adam, which is 1 Corinthians 15 conversation. But if you don't know this book, I don't want to get into too much of it. But anyway, Luke 3 and 38, which is the son of Enos, which is the son of Seth, there you go, which was the son of Adam, we just read about that, right, which was the son of God. And just like his father, God, he could create in his image and his likeness. So when he called us gods, he wasn't just playing. We just ain't after his kind yet. But his image and likeness and some of his abilities creating after our image and likeness. So, back to Colossians 1. I'm just trying to show y'all some stuff that's in the Bible put together the way y'all probably never heard it or seen it before. But I've been doing this for years. Been in the know for a minute. So, 1 Corinthians 1 and 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things was created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the church, which he purchased with his own blood. What did it call him, Acts 28? God? Okay. So it said, the church, which being the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and have made peace through the blood of his cross by him, to reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Right? That's why he had to go up. Told him don't touch him. He ain't ascended to the Father. He went up there to the holies of holies and gave us a new access and by the veil of his body and stuff. Right? We still ain't got to him giving the law yet, right? We gonna get there, people. Just pump your brakes. Can't be in a rush. Right? Let's go to Moses and the 24 elders. Exodus 24. Right? Or the 70 elders. What? How many? I'm talking 24 elders. That's a whole other thing. Don't ask me about the 24 elders. We ain't talking Revelation now. The 70 elders. My bad. My mind work like that sometimes. It's 24 elders, 70. Yeah. Y'all will get it. Those that know, know. But Exodus 24. I seen 24. That's why I pumped up in my head, I guess. Exodus 24. We're going to pick it up at 1. Now, we're going to read about Moses and these 70 seeing God. But Jesus said they ain't never see his father, to be particular. So when they seen God, who else could it have been? Out of many gods out there. Ain't no pantheon in Israel. There's only two. Unless you call in two a pantheon. Right? Exodus 24, and we're going to pick it up at 1. And it said, and he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship afar off. Right? Moses said, come up. Who he say he was going to see? Come up unto the Lord. Right? That's who they going up to. All right, skip now. Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 other elders of Israel. And they saw who? And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it was a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mountain and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou might teach them. So, if John 5 and 37 is true, that no one has ever seen his father or heard his voice at any time, and we got only other one viable option, that's Jesus himself, which now we finna get into the law giver. If it wasn't his father that gave the law to Moses, seeing that he ain't the one right here talking about two tables of stone and all of that. And you know you get the two tables of stones from 20, right? Time to start putting some more scripture together. What we want to do is go, let me see. And which way I want to go is so many different ways, right? Let me see. Lawgiver, two tables of stone. Jesus gave them. Which way I want to go? Let's go to Exodus 20. Let me go there first. Now let's go to 19 to get the drop story before the story. So you get. Let's go to 19. Right. So we'll pick it up. Exodus 19. In the third month, when the children of Israel was gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mountain. They're in the wilderness, right? Let's see who this is in the wilderness. Let's go to Acts right quick. 7 and 30, I believe. 38, my bad. It said, verse 37, where we're going to start it, right? We'll start at 34, since we ain't going to read too much of the Exodus story. We'll start at 34, Acts 7 and 34. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now, come, I will send thee into Egypt. He's talking about Moses, right? We know. This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hands of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. Now, I told you that angel in the bush said that I am, but that angel in the bush was not Jesus. That's a whole nother thing that you have to beat up from an Israelite perspective, which deal with Hebrew language, which gets stupid because they know a little bit that they need not know, right? Too much knowledge make you stupid sometimes. You ever heard of an educated fool? There you go. That's why they named them that. But anyway, 35. This Moses whom they refused, right? 36. He brought them out after they had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their heart turn back again into Egypt. So we see, right? So I know that's a little bit of there. You would like the angel in the bush, and I ain't got time to explain it. I'm trying to look at the clock and see how much time I really do get. Okay. I got about 2 hours and stuff on my blog talk, so it's all good. We're going to get there, people. Bear with me. I ain't did a lesson, quote unquote, in a minute. So, as you can see, I'm somewhere having fun. I told y'all I have fun doing this, so forgive me a little bit. I'm having fun. If I'm having too much fun, forgive me. Right? So, I see we got a troll in the room too, right? So now, let's see. Where did I go? Acts 7 and 38. What was the key, right? Now we back here at Exodus 19. It said, verse 3, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shall thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Why is there two different things there? Because the children of Israel is the children of God, whose name is Israel. But I'm going to say that his name lesson for another day. I had somebody hit me up on a post earlier talking about, people think, you know, because they sacred name is out here. So they act like I'm saying that's his sacred name. He got more than one name. Like he got more than one title. Please, y'all, grow up. 4, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I buried you on eagle wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, right? And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And the words that Jesus speak is what? Spirit and they is life, right? We're going to go to Romans 7 and you're going to see that the law is spirit, right? The law is spirit. In the words that brought about the written letter of the law of spirit, which came from a spirit. So all that is spiritual, right? Except the ink that the scribe put on the paper, right? So, 8, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken will we do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear what I speak with thee. And I believe and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready again the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people. In the sight of the people, that means they're going to see him, right? They're going to see the cloud. They ain't going to see him. But they're going to hear his voice. And they're going to get scared and say, we don't want to talk to God no more. So they're going to... We got Moses, Aaron, and Abihu, and the 70 elders. They seen God, ate with God, dealt with God. Right? Moses been talking to God for a minute, and now God finna come before the people and they gonna hear him. But remember, Jesus said they didn't hear or see his father at any time. Right? So 11 again, be ready the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people up on Mount Sinai. Right? So we'll pick it up at 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Because you come up here trying to see me, I'm going to kill you. He said, make sure you charge them and warn them. I'm coming to talk to them. But if they get ignorant and try to come up here and handle me and deal with me, I'm going to kill them. right? And let the priests also, which come to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth unto them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mountain and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, always go thee down. Always go thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth unto them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. Now here come the third day, right? And God spake all these words, saying, because he didn't came. He there now. He in the cloud. I got to go find that scripture. He in the cloud, right? Any Bible thumpers out there, if you got the scripture, let me know, right? I don't want the cloud by day, and you know, I don't want that scripture. But anyway, I'm trying to think I'm dealing with this. But anyway, the Lord and came down, right? So it say in verse 20, and the Lord spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thou God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Y'all know the commandments, right? Last commandment is in verse 17. We just finished that up and go and read the rest. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the thundering and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let God, dude up there that said don't break through, or he gonna break through. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear might be before your face, that ye seeing not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. It was God in that cloud speaking. Unlike this liar in our chat today, talking about that was an angel, in the sense that God was a messenger of God. Okay, you win that argument if that's the way you come. If you're saying it any other way, you're a lying and truth ain't in. We're going to let the word of God be true and you a lie. Right? So now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 10 this time. Right? First Corinthians 10. And we're going to talk about the Exodus and the wilderness and all of that. Give us 1 second. The serpents and stuff. It's finna tell you who was in that thick cloud and everything, right? Who was back there with Moses and stuff. We're going to let Paul tell you. If you ain't an Israelite, then Paul is the apostle unto you all, and you should take heed to the apostle to you Gentiles. So it said, 1 Corinthians 10, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, which take us back to the John 6, where he said they ate manna and died, and if you eat this bread, you live forever, and so on and so forth. Then he said, eat the bread and drink the wine, which he did, broke open on the Passover, right? So he said, 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. We need some authentication on that, right? So let's go to Deuteronomy 32. I told y'all I know this book. Sometime I have a blueprint. Sometime I just... I time in the way I done found out they the best way to tie in and get an understanding. Two or three scriptures, people. It's murder. So it's Deuteronomy 32. And it says in verse 4, he is the rock. His works is perfect, for all his ways is judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They corrupted themselves. Their spots is not the spots of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Right? Do ye thus require the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee and has not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy fathers, and he will show thee. The elders tell thee. When the Most High divided the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Right? But he says, verse 15, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou waxed fat, thou grown thick, thou covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him. God made him, right? And lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. The rock of his salvation. God the only one to bring salvation, people. But anyway, it said, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That rock was God, right? That's why he punched you with his own blood. Now, these things were our example to the intent. We should not lust after evil things as they also lust. Neither be you idolaters, some of them, right? As it is written, the people sat down and ate and drank and rose up early to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day. 3,000 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ. That's who they was dealing with. And Christ just means anointed, right? And remember, God, thou God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, right? Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and would destroy the serpents in the wilderness. Because that was God. That was Christ back there. Right? Now, let me show y'all how, when I say he is our God, our Father, right, and our Lord. Listen about the rock of our salvation. That rock. That's Christ. Right? It said right here. It said, Deuteronomy 32:19. And when the Lord saw it, because it said, let's not tempt Christ, right? The Lord. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end should be. For they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger, and I will move them to jealousy with those that are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundation of the mountains. I will heap mischief upon them. I will spin my arrows upon them. Right? He said sons and his daughters. So before we get back to the New Testament, let's just stop over here to Isaiah 9. Because when Jesus come, he was supposed to get a turn. He was supposed to be called a turn or something. And what you saying, Negro? I don't care. Y'all should well own up out of him. You don't like English? You don't like English? Keep talking, you're gonna get put on time out and maybe even thrown out. I don't need no hating. No, no hate allowed. No haters allowed. Let me get to Isaiah. I'm trying to take my attention, man. Isaiah 9, right? Everybody always want to test. They can't teach nothing sound, but they want to test everything that sound. Line up online here a little there. Another. So, Isaiah 9, we're going to deal with this term that he should be called. Right? For to 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be up on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counsel, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Now, what he doing? All right. That's your first warning. Any more, and you will be blocked. You got a YouTube channel. If you got some discrepancies or whatever, go make you a YouTube and teach what it is you teach. If you're supposed to be the priest and teacher of the word of God and stuff, go do that. Don't come over here trying to argue and fight with me. I don't want no fight right now. I'm teaching. I'm not debating and I'm not squabbling. So, that's my brother Rich. Shout out to him, part of that Taylor gang. He put the phone number there. We can even talk about it. But we're not finna argue and debate right now. I'm not in the mood to do that. I'm teaching. So, that's why he got the title Everlasting Father, because of Deuteronomy, the Rock, so on and so forth, right? Y'all see how we piecing this puzzle together? You can believe it or not. But the thing to do is be diligent, sit down and study these scriptures. Now let's go to Luke 20. We ain't even going to go to Matthew 24, where he said, how many times I'd have buried you on eagle wings, and we heard him say that stuff back in the, come on now. So what I said, Luke 24, starting in verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bring the spice which they had prepared, a certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Right? So they found not the body. Let's skip down to 13. And behold, two of them went the same day. They went to the village. Let's get to it. Anyway, communication had one to another. Let me see. Let me get to the point. Let's just get to the point. I don't want to deal with all that. If I had to read them, we probably would do that. So what I want to do is just skip to 25. Well, 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet had spoken. Remember he told them when he was here before the resurrection. He said, if y'all believe all that Moses wrote, right, and all the rest of them, because that's what it's going to basically state, right? It said, believe all that the prophet has spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. Right? So then we're going to skip the fofo. Dip in fofo's. Right? It said, he said unto them, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he ain't just talking about the prophesied, no, because remember, 1 Corinthians 10 said he was back there. That rock was Christ, right? Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise, to raise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Right? And ye are witness of these things. Right? So now, let's just sum this up some, because I want to talk to the brother if he want to talk. The number is out there. 657-383-71714. Right? 657-383-1714. So, let's go to Isaiah 33. Go back to Isaiah right quick. Isaiah 33. 22. For the Lord is our judge, right? The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He shall save us, because he's the rock of our salvation. Who did he save? The lawgiver is? Waiting. Now, when we read in Exodus 20 that the Lord came and gave them law, statutes, and commandments, even gave the covenant, the 10, which he said all the law hang upon when he came in the flesh, right? So, how can you judge another man's servant? Let me get the New Testament text. We'll book that in. I got a Bible Gateway at people. Told you it's been a long time since I just flexed and in scriptures like that. I get caught up sometime on which scripture is which stuff. It's been a long time since I just worked out in any scriptures. It's there when needed though. Oh, I should just type in lawgiver. My bad. It's in James, huh? So. James 4. And we'll pick it up at 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou to judge another? Right? There's only one lawgiver. Right? In Isaiah 33:22 say, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. Who shall save us? The rock of our salvation. Let me see. I'm going to put in law to Moses, right? I think it's a scripture. I'm going to have to find that scripture. It's a scripture that God gave something to Moses. Well, it's all good. I'll find that scripture. But that's pretty much the icing on the cake. Now, we got a 318 here. I don't know who that is, but if you want to talk, hit one. And we can get it in, whoever you are. Friend or foe, it don't matter. They hung up. Friend or foe, it don't matter. To the brother that was in the room speaking and stuff, I done calmed down. Yeah. Yeah. Another terrorist raped your 12-year-old, your white woman's Hebrew Israelite. That's how I'm going to start doing the Hebrew Israelite community when they come at me like that. I'm going to do unto you as you would have me do unto you, and, you know, vice versa. I'm going to give you an eye for an eye or whatever. I'm gonna call out all the stuff that the wicked, when they talk about y'all, because y'all are wicked. So if you want a name call, I'm gonna do that with y'all, right? That's why they're gonna have that big conference down in Florida and be talking about Hebrew Israelites that like to stand on the street corner. Yes, those that call themselves Yasharella and all of that. Oh yeah. So you think they just gonna come at me? Cause you say I'm a Christian, that means I'm more like them than you. So we get y'all, you know what I'm saying? Go get some of them Sinetta videos with the GMS and Tazari Yacht talking crazy to the little African boy, telling me can't eat, telling Solomon that his grandmother couldn't come eat and do all of that, and use that propaganda machine against y'all. Like y'all try to use some propaganda against me or people like me. Y'all don't want to play the game like that, man. So stop being ignorant. You know what I'm saying? I know you want me to take this lesson and, you know, start using profanity and get mad and do them things. You, like the brother said, you could have just stayed about your merry business. You want to be seen and heard. Now you're blocked. You'll never be seen and heard over here again because I'm not going to block you. You go make another channel and try to come over here. But, you know what I'm saying? That's the way it is. Rebel rousers. So what you want to do? Come over and rebel rouse. I tell you, the devil stay busy. But that's them Yasharella cats. Wicked Hebrew Israelites. And you know I don't care for nobody that call themselves that. And that's why you can't deal with them. You know what I'm saying? They spiritual crackheads. I wish it was some way that I could do something and it didn't take the dude out of the chat when nobody even see that he even spoke nothing, whatever. But you know, YouTube, they don't get that fancy with it. It would be nice if you could make them disappear and nobody seen that you block them or threw them away. Because that's all he was doing, people. It's trolling. So he can get somebody to go watch his one or two videos, this and that, you know. Want to be seen and heard and ride, you know, the righteous coattail. You know. I ain't said that was his name. That's what the book said. Now, if you said the book a lie, once again, you could call in. If you say the book a lie, I'm going to say you a lie. And you ain't got no righteousness in you because you calling the word of God a lie. Unless you saying that ain't the word of God. Now, if you saying that ain't the word of God and it's a lie, that's a whole nother conversation. I say it's the word of God and every word be true. And every man a lie. See? Another Yasharela. It just behooves me that these people go crazy like that, like they know stuff, but they don't know, understand, or comprehend. Right? We know stuff was translated. So, as been stated, you got idioms, you got all kind of figure of speech and different stuff. Right? So, if somebody called me hammer, that don't make me a hammer. That don't make me a piece of wood with a piece of metal on it. Somebody called me dog, that don't make me a four-legged beast. They go woof, woof, woof. You know what I'm saying? Why deal with figurative language and go crazy? Because that's what it states. Now, how you gonna have a problem with the word of God? Is that not what's written? I'm gonna go read it for a witness against anybody that wanna speak against it, right? It said verse 19 and 13 in Revelation. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. I mean, if the Word of God, the Book of God, the teachings of John the Revelation, the Revelator is a lie, then why even deal with the book? See what I'm saying? Because they don't want to deal with the fact that Jesus is not a literal utterance, that he's a vocal cord of God. Like he's living his throat. He's his vocal cord. He a sound or utterance that was made flesh with arms and see what I'm saying? We know the word of God is kind of hard to understand because it say stuff here and it say stuff there and it just don't give you the clear-cut picture just when you read it. It's written in Proverbs and parables and dark sayings and all of this stuff. Right? Israel, those are the circumcision. They get They get crazy, man. They get crazy. They hear English KJV and they be ready to shoot themselves. You know what I'm saying? In the foot. Oh yeah, I'm good. I'm gonna close it down before I mess around and get into some craziness with them brothers. So I appreciate everybody that tuned in and listened and watched and everything. You know what I'm saying? Number one, nobody dealing with the fact that the one that was in the wilderness in the cloud was Christ, the rock of our salvation, right? And that he is the lawgiver. The Lord is the lawgiver. We read that, right? And then we read the New Testament where it says only one lawgiver. And we know that our Lord, that one lawgiver, gave that law to Moses, who gave it to the children of Israel. Now, who want to argue and fight that? See? And try to find technicalities and argue and fight a little technicality. But they see the subject matter and they see the concept of what's being talked about. Ain't nobody come over and say, yeah, I can agree to that. That's true. Brother, that was good that you brought that forth. Because that's true. That's right and exact. I want to find technicalities and try to argue technicalities and stuff because they just want to argue and fight about stuff that really is. You know what I'm saying? Like, did that hurt the whole of the conversation, the whole of the topic by saying just what the book say, his name is the word of God. They act like I made something up. See what So it'd be a different thing if I said that in my own words, but it was already written in the book. See, that's the technicality that you can't get it from. You know, have you not read? Thus it is written. Oh, it's a lie. Well, that's why I don't nobody want to believe nothing else in the Bible. You just turned them away from the word of God. You told them what was written was a lie. Right? Now you're going to tell people things like, you know, most people say the whole New Testament a lie. Everybody make arguments for what's in the book a lie. You know, the Israelites don't even exist. That's a lie. The whole book is a lie. See what I'm saying? People that's supposed to believe in the book called the book a lie. I never called the book a lie. Because I believe every word from Genesis to Revelation. Now it may take some getting used to and some studying to understand it, but to call it a lie? Like, that's what you call shooting yourself in the foot for real. Shooting yourself in the scrotum. Ow! My people. Let me get up out of here, man. I'm going to say peace, y'all. I got to get up out of here before I start getting into other folly. Peace to everybody on Blog Talk and everybody on YouTube.